Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, John. This is Cindy Solomon, the Global Product Management Talk, Product Camp Radio. Thank you so much for to talk today about your experience at Product Camp Atlanta recently. John Pelletier is a frequent participant in the product management community on Twitter and is an organizer of product camps. He's participated on the organizing committee of four product camp on conferences in Austin and two in Atlanta. Recently, he presented a session at Product Camp Atlanta entitled Personas in Design and Strategy. Experience to share with us about Product Camp Austin and Product Camp Atlanta, and I'm very interested to hear about your experience and also about the community surrounding both of those on conferences.
Four in Austin, and I actually think it's three here in Atlanta. I have, since 2009, I've been at a number of them, and certainly each one tends to have its own character and its own personality. Two or three that I've done here in Atlanta have, there's a different character between the two cities, and the personality of the event somewhat reflects that. So Austin's a very startup-focused, very connected community, and so that event tends to, or has been, very, very well-received, and that team has created the 503C, so it's done the official nonprofit, and really established that event in the Austin community. Atlanta's a little bit different. So at PDMA chapter here in Atlanta, there's a Technology Association of Georgia that has a product management interest group. So there's a few things for product managers in Atlanta. There's not quite as big of a gap, whereas for Austin, it's pretty much the only game in town. So Atlanta's product camp is not gone to the official nonprofit route, but it does provide a great opportunity for product managers to get out of their traditional networking circles and mix and mingle a little bit. Certainly learned quite a bit.
Quite an undertaking to put together an all-day event, even in a casual approach, having speakers assign themselves.
It is. One of the secrets is the number of non-obvious things to attendees or to the mass majority of the participants is the amount of work that's going on behind the scenes, and certainly our sponsors are a great resource. We couldn't do it without them. We put a lot of work in and a lot of effort to make it seamless and to make it effortless on the day of. And having said that, those of us on the planning team are typically running around and with a chicken with the head cut off type of approach while things are going on to make sure everything's flowing smoothly. We may not actually attend many of the sessions, but we do actually get quite a bit of enjoyment and satisfaction out of seeing the amount of connections that are made and the learning that takes place at each of the events.
About how many people attend the Product Camp Atlanta?
So we have a venue that has a capacity of about 250, so we typically wrap up sales tickets at about 350. Typically we get about 60-70% turnout. This past event we had closer to 200. It happened to be that over the course of the prior month, going outside was treacherous because of the heat. And so the weekend of Product Camp was the first very comfortable, sunny weekend we'd had in 6 weeks, and we think that had something to do with it. Plus, there was a couple of other events that day, and people with bringing their kids back to play softball and other things. So we had a few competing events, but we had great solid turnout and a wonderful alignment and set of content. So we got plenty of great reviews after this past event.
It's an all-day event on a Saturday, is that correct?
It is, and it does. The rationale for that has to do with giving people an opportunity to get training that's not conflicting with their day job. And so there's a certain subset of people that are more willing than others, let's say, to volunteer and spend a Saturday at a training and learning event. So, all right. The one thing that leads to is that the people that are showing up on a Saturday are typically very motivated, very dedicated, or heavy hitters that will spend their Saturday trying to advance their craft and mentor people new to the field and that sort of thing.
It's a free event.
Among the planning teams at the different events, we have our little LinkedIn groups where we discuss these things and on the phone. We have gone over many times the concept of should we charge. There's been a couple of camps that have tried an admission charge. I think New York did that. I believe there's one other that I can't think of at the moment. Typically, the ethos of Product Camp, which is derived from the Bar Camp events, was that free and it's put on by the volunteers. So when anybody suggests charging for the events because that might increase your percentage of turnout, it's met with quite a bit of resistance because it goes against that fundamental principle. And to be honest, one of the reasons we fight that is that even though it might be a small fee, you know, a $10 or $15 little bit of skin in the game, somebody that's unemployed, that might prove just enough resistance to motivate them not to show up, and we don't want that to be a barrier.
Who is the audience? Is it for people who are unemployed and seeking entry into the product management profession?
I wouldn't say it specifically for someone that's unemployed. I would say that Product Camp is a an educational networking opportunity. So we have anywhere from people that have started very recently in the profession to executives to seasoned senior level product managers, and they all mix in together. I spoke in one session with a guy who was a chief product officer at a company, and then I turn around and I've got somebody speaking up at the next session asking a question and saying that she starts her first product management position next week. She's moving in from being a business analyst. There is definitely a wide range, and it's really about people that are hungry and motivated to learn more and to have the opportunity to share stories and learn from their peers. So it's not a specific employment focus in any way, really.
And so how many Product Camp Atlantis have there been?
We just had our fifth.
Wow.
So the team has started to consider what to do for number six. Don't have a date yet, don't have a month at this point, but obviously the wheels are turning a little bit in our heads.
How often do they occur?
Typically they have been twice a year, so it's usually been February-ish to and the second one in August, or September in this case. And one of the things that we're considering now is should it be twice a year or once a year? And there's a whole number of reasons for both, but right now we're just trying to figure out what works best for this market. And certainly every product camp is different. So many of them, I would say most, are twice a year. There's no set rule that has to be the case. And for people that are in the Southeast, I also will mention that Nashville is starting their product camp. Their first one will be on November 12th. Several of us will be making a trip up there to either offer sessions, offer some help in getting it, the logistics of running the event, and giving them some pointers on how to get the whole process started in that market.
Is there structure in place for how they produce these events?
So what's happened in Atlanta is that Jason Brett has really been the driving force behind this event. He's the founder and has been involved with every product camp since here, as well as visiting others in other cities, including Austin, and I think he went to Silicon Valley at least once. He's been the driving force, and there's been a team that he's assembled and that the pieces swap in and out here and there, but been the one anchor. I've joined in recently, and because I've been in so many product camp, he's convinced me to take a leadership role in this one. Beyond that, we had a couple of holdovers from previous camps on the team this time. We had a couple of new faces, and we like what we have right now, and we're going to be slowly recruiting additional help, build the team out going forward. And that's usually an ongoing sort of process. There's always a little bit of turnover between every camp, and at the same time, there's people that enjoy doing these, so you have certain ones that stay on and continue to participate.
Greg White of Key Camp SoCal recently talked about how they have intentionally incorporated an aspect of mentoring people to sustain ongoing product camp production. Who can they bring into the fold to learn the skills involved? Because outside of product management, there's event coordination skills involved here that are above and beyond what it takes to produce a product.
Right. So you're absolutely right. So there's certainly learned a good bit about putting on event through conducting these product camps. So what you're talking about, that mentorship, the formal mentorship, we were doing that in Austin before I left. So we had a board of directors on the 503C, I guess it is. They were board members, and then those roles tied to a planning team member, but they weren't necessarily the same person. So we had somebody that had gone through several camps and was coaching the person that was going to run that role. And then there might be someone else helping that person. So there was almost like a two-level mentorship. So in Atlanta, Jason and I were recently talking about that exact concept, which is making sure that each person in the next camp has an apprentice or whatever, however you want to phrase that, to learn the ropes, and the workload is distributed. We put together this September event in a little bit of a hurry in terms of where we wanted to be, or we didn't get out of the gate as fast as we wanted to, and day jobs got in the way a little bit, so kind of had things coming together last minute. But our approach and our goal is that if we establish more of that structure, we can avoid some of those challenges.
Built in coaching and mentoring into the profession, because we had a culture of coaching and mentoring product managers throughout their career, or some way of incorporating that, it would increase everybody's excellence.
Indeed, and I think one of the things that the Atlanta planning team specifically has as a goal is to help, at least in our region or our area, to help with thought leadership and get some people that have been in the profession a little while more opportunity to establish their brand a little bit, to help them, coach them, or encourage them to do things like lead sessions, write blog posts or write white papers, things like that, to help share that knowledge with other members of the community. So if Product Camp can be a way that we can help bring that knowledge and make it more available, that's great. I mean, that'd be something that we would feel some accomplishment with.
In terms of the surrounding business community of Product Camp Atlanta, do you see a distinct flavor of attendees, of what their concerns are, what their challenges are, that might be different from the Austin Product Camp?
The big difference that I would see is that Atlanta's attendees tend to be more from larger companies. We don't have as much of a voice from the startup community. Now there's probably fewer, or at least a smaller percentage perhaps, of startups in the Atlanta area. There's a small but vocal and very present number of startups. So we've got a few people that will attend regularly from that community, but it's not as visible in the Atlanta group. So we tend to draw more from mid-size and up companies that are, you know, somewhat established, and a little bit of the brand management community at some of the consumer goods companies here in town. So we're trying to expand that a little bit as well to better bring in more of the startups, as well as more of the brand managers, and kind of give us a little better representation among all those.
In what industry?
Well, so Atlanta has the advantage of having representation in many industries. It's very wide in terms of its appeal. There's, I think, 400-something of the Fortune 500 have offices here. And so we tend to bring in a wide variety. I don't have a specific pattern in mind. Now, Jason may, if you spoke to him, have a different answer there, because he probably knows the list better than I do. And I'm still on the point of figuring out, when I go to camps here in Atlanta, which name does that face go to? But we have people from Coca-Cola. I was thinking of names of companies in town, so Delta, Coca-Cola, Home Depot, UPS. One of our planning team members is working for UPS right now. We have a number of small internet companies. We have just pretty much everything. We draw from a wide range of industries and types.
And you're located in the Atlanta area?
I am in the northern suburbs of Atlanta, that's correct.
How much agile implementation is happening in those companies?
So Atlanta is a little, I guess I would estimate, a little behind other cities, perhaps. There still seems to be a little bit of, at least in some of the older, the more established companies, they're putting their toe in the water trying to figure out if Agile can work for them. There's a couple of great coaches in town that have been advancing the cause, and we definitely have companies that are fully Agile and that are starting to implement, but it doesn't feel quite as pervasive as it did when I was in Austin, because everybody would talk about it there, whereas here there's, you know, in Atlanta I still find a lot of, does that really work? Is that just all, you know, hypothetical? Is that all just hype? I didn't hear those types of questions as much as I do now. So there's a community here. It's growing. I mean, I've been in two different companies. My previous was Carestream, which was formerly part of Kodak, and I was on the team that was doing the Skunkworks, and we were really testing Agile for the first time. I'm at a much smaller company now called The Network. We have implemented Agile processes here, but we're a 200-person company, so we're definitely not the size of Kodak.
We should always be talking about how to increase our efficiency, how to increase collaboration, but I think that the implementation is by necessity going to be unique to every organization.
Certainly will, and I'll relay a story. I was at the PDMA summit yesterday, that the Georgia PDMA has their annual conference. They brought in Marty Kagan, who...
Silicon Valley Product Group. That's right. He's awesome.
I met him yesterday, and I sat on a panel with him. So the PDMA has a lot of folks from, you know, your Coca-Colas and your Georgia Pacific and some of the traditional product companies, but they're very much stage gate, and Marty was stirring up quite a bit of controversy by his views on stage gate, and it was interesting, and that's part of my response earlier was there's a lot of people that just haven't really brought those principles into their thinking. When you bring up Agile in an environment where many of the people you're talking to are at your more established legacy organizations, as Marty calls them, you find a good bit of resistance. So I just think that's part of the character of the town. It's a little more conservative, not quite ready to just jump on the latest fad. So I think there's still a bit of education and socialization of those concepts that has to take place here. Correct, and it's also there. It becomes part of the challenge of how do you implement Agile in giant enterprises versus
right.
Small startups and and a lot. So a lot of what I see in Atlanta, the focus, the business development focus, I live in a suburb called Alpharetta, and there's a ton of technology companies there, but they're primarily of your Fortune 500 type. So, well-known, established companies, and they're not little startup with three people working out of somebody's basement. They're several buildings of their own or what have you, and you have companies that have large numbers of divisions and different locations, and it becomes much more challenging there to get that first convert because there's so much political and so much other pressure to maintain the way things have always been done. But yeah. I see a lot of energy among some of the community here. Mike Kottmeyer is a well-known agile coach that works out of this area. I've seen great things coming from in that community, and I think it's going to take a little bit of time, at least in this market. But we had a couple of sessions around agile methodology at Product Camp. We typically have one or two. It's not hiding out there, but it's just not as much of a grassroots feel as it was or it is in other markets. But yeah, so we've had a great set of events here in Atlanta. We have ambitious goals for the future, some of which I've mentioned, some of which are still baking in our heads right now, but we have a great team. Happy to be part of it.
And I want to mention that the website for Product Camp Atlanta is at pcampatl.com. There's a lot of information there, and it looks like the sessions posted.
So we have the session proposals. We're all posted to our blog right now. We are collecting and gathering all the slide decks as available, as session leaders are willing to post them, and we're going to post them to SlideShare most likely. We have a Product Camp Atlanta group on SlideShare that we're trying to assemble as many of those as we can.
Well, great.
And certainly, and one of the other things and one of the challenges we've had is I'm thinking it's above 60-something hours of video, and we've got it stored, but we've had not as much luck with editing that footage. That's video from more than one camp, so we would like to, and we're working on finding a resource to help us do that. Definitely much value to be provided to those who can't attend. People that have attended some product camps but not others, we'd like to have a great set of resources for them to access as well. That's sort of an ongoing, continuing goal, is to make that stuff available.
Editing requires a lot more time and effort than you would expect.
The numbers I hear, it's usually at least two or three times as long to edit that 1 hour of footage than it is to watch it, probably more than that.
And just even editing down the transcript from the Twitter Talks weekly requires a lot of thinking. It's one thing just to capture all the tweets, then to really summarize it, determine what are the most important points to include in a summary, requires some high-level thinking. I'm constantly working with interns to train them, I end up having to educate them around what the content is about. It's not a simple thing. A lot of knowledge we take for granted.
Sure, and an intern. I've got to think about that idea. I could use some help.
Okay.
Just note to self, I got to think about that one.
Right.
I hope that was helpful. I hope this is helpful to the audience.
Extremely. An ongoing conversation about product camps, about product management in general. The whole purpose of this is to give people a bridge in to start accessing all the knowledge that's available, all the great people that are so generous in giving of their time, such as you. I'm looking forward to your speaking this Monday at our Twitter talk. You'll be talking about the backlog management issues during development of the initial release of a product. It's getting into the nitty-gritty tactics involved with product development release owner point of view, which I'm very much looking forward to. Thank you for your continued involvement with Product Camp and as we move to using more online tools to collaborate and coordinate these events.
I look forward to talking Monday as well, and I will tell you that I covered a bit of that material at this past Product Camp. I was able to get quite an interesting conversation taking place from that assertion that I was making about Monday's topic, so I do look forward to some back and forth on that.
There are quite a lot of tools for managing the backlog.
I hadn't really planned to make it a tool conversation. It was more about organizational structure, so the one person versus two versus how do you manage, how does the person manage the role. That was more of the approach or of the point of the talk. So I've used a couple of tools. I do have one that I found that I like, but I'm not at a point where I'm planning to recommend people use a specific tool. It's more about how do they structure their own job to be able to be strategic and also be tactical. What was that?
Excellent. I want to mention that John's blog is at johnpeltier.com/blog, and you blog fairly often, and I appreciate, I learn a lot from reading your blog.
It's more sporadic than I would like, so thank you.
I'm always encouraging people to blog, so we'll mirror them at the prodmanagementtalk.com blog. Well, thank you for your time, and have a great weekend, and I look forward to speaking with you and our Twitter community on Monday.
Sounds great. I will speak to you then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.